I'm not much of a handyman. You can ask my wife about that. In fact, you should probably ask my wife after services about the time we put up our first cedar fence, all three attempts. Or perhaps ask her the story that goes along with installing the gates about said fence. But that's not what I'm here to talk about tonight. Instead, I want to talk about another building project found in Exodus chapters 35 through 40. If you'll open up your Bibles to Exodus, the 35th through the 40th chapters, we'll be looking at those scriptures tonight. And we'll be tying in those scriptures with the work that we're engaged in at Woodland Hills today. I really don't know much about building projects, but what I do know is this. Every building project starts with a goal in mind and needs a plan, needs provisions, needs funding, needs materials. And building projects also require skilled laborers who will work from the heart according to the plan that's given. And so I really don't know much about fixing things or building things, but I do know that much about building projects. Turn with me to Exodus 25. Let's go back a little bit from Exodus 35. Go with me now to Exodus 25, and we're going to start in verse 8. Here in this section of scripture, we read about God's goal for his building project, which was at the time the tabernacle. God is telling the people, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. That's God's goal regarding the tabernacle. This tabernacle was a very special place. It was a sacred place where God chose to meet his people, the Israelites, during the 40 years that they wandered in the desert under Moses' leadership. He would continue to meet with him in that tabernacle for some time after. But this tabernacle was the place where the leaders and people came together to worship and to offer sacrifices. However, it was more than just a dwelling place. All the components of the tabernacle were an intricate visual aid to illustrate God's relationship with his people. One aspect of this relationship was God's requirement for complete obedience. God told Moses to create the tabernacle exactly the way that he commanded. It was not to stray from his blueprint or his plan. You see, God not only had a goal in mind, but he had a plan to build this project, to build this very special building. Remember, every building project needs a plan, and God articulated his plan to Moses. Look at chapter 25, verse 9. Make this tabernacle, God told Moses, and all of its furnishings exactly like the plan, or the Bible says, the pattern that I will show you. So God had a plan for his building. To this end, God gave very specific instructions about the size and the materials for each component. For example, the anointing oil for the tabernacle and the incense for the altar of incense, made from God's own prescribed formula for spices, were both declared holy by God and could only be used for the purpose of the tabernacle. Anyone else who would use that same formula for their own consumption would be cut off from Israel. The special garments for the priests, they were holy. They were sanctified. If they did not wear the right clothing in serving the Lord, they could die. So God had a very specific plan that he articulated to the people. He had a blueprint. To carry out this blueprint, materials had to be gathered. Every building project needs provisions like funding and materials. This building project was no different. We can find God's instructions for this in Exodus 25, verses 1 through 7. Exodus 25, 1 through 7. Lord said to Moses in Exodus 25, 1 through 7, speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a what? My version says a contribution. That language sounds familiar, doesn't it? For every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you receive from them. Gold and silver and bronze. He goes on to talk about the blue and the purple scarlet yarns and the fine twine linen, and oil for the lamps and onyx stones and things like that. Now, it's estimated that the materials alone for the tabernacle will be worth something in the realm of $10 to $50 million today. $10 to $50 million. That's what the materials would be worth today. I have a question for y'all. Where did the people get the materials? Where did they get the resources? Did they mine the gold? Did they mine the silver and the precious stones in the desert? Where did the people get the yarns and the fine twine linens? Where did the oil come from? Where did the spices come from? Do you know where they got those things? God provided. God gave them those things to them for this building project. And we can read about that way back in Exodus 12, verses 35 through 36. Exodus 12, verses 35 through 36 says, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they would let them have what they asked. So thus they plundered the Egyptians. God provided the materials for the tabernacle. We also know that every successful building project requires skilled laborers who will work from the heart according to the plan. We find these workers referenced in Exodus 31. Go ahead and turn with me to Exodus 31. Here in this text, Exodus 31 verses 1 through 6, I'm going to paraphrase it. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and craftsmanship. And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. So far we've talked about God's planning, His blueprint, His requirements for His building project. Let's turn to His people's response. This is fascinating and this is relevant to us today. Turn with me to Exodus 35, verses 21 through 29. Exodus 35, verses 21 through 29. Here's the people's response. And I'm going to not read the whole section, but portions of it. Verse 21 says, and they came. Notice this. Everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all of its service and for the holy garments. So they came, not just the men, but both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and so on and so forth. Look at verse 24. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. Look at verse 25. And every skillful woman spun with her hands. And they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 sums this portion up very well. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, does that sound familiar? Does a free will offering under the new covenant, does that sound familiar? In short, the people gave generously of the materials, of their materials, such as linens and precious stones and money and talents and skills. And so much so, when we get to Exodus 36, turn with me now to Exodus 36. verses 3 through 7. This section tells us that at one point the workmen had to leave their work at the sanctuary and tell Moses that starting in verse 5, the people bring much more than enough. More than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. They were restrained from bringing. Can you see that? For the material that they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. More than enough. That's really the heart of the message tonight. More than enough. Here's how this Old Testament account applies to us today as Christians, and then we're going to talk to about how it applies today as Christians at Woodland Hills. Yes, the account we just read was set in an ocean away on a different continent in a faraway time, but God is building something today, isn't he? What's he building? There are several references to his New Testament building project contained within the scriptures. Let's look briefly at the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 2, verse 35, which prophesies about the New Testament building project. God is saying in 1 Samuel 2, verse 35, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. In other words, according to my plan. And I will what? God says, I will build. I will build him a what? A sure house. And he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. What's God's goal for building this sure house? Ezekiel 37 verse 27 states God's goal. Ezekiel 37 27 makes clear what God's goal is. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It sounds an awful lot like what God's goal was for the tabernacle. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 confirms this goal. Turn with me to the New Testament, Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, where Paul talks about this very thing, God's building project. He says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Built. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into what? Grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The building project that we're referring to, you know this, is the church. It's the church. It's this people. And we're a dwelling place for God. The picture that is illustrated in the tabernacle, God's goal has always been the same. He's always wanted to dwell with his people. We are God's temple. We are God's sanctuary, and he is building us. Ephesians 1:9 says this, because Ephesians 1:9 talks about God's plan for the church. He says, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. According to his purpose, God has a plan, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. To unite all things to him, or in him, things in heaven and things on earth. My friends, not only does God have a plan, but our wonderful God has also made provisions for this project. And he has given us skills and skilled workers. Look at Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 12. Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 12. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. For what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. For what goal? For what purpose? To what end? For the building up of the body of Christ. We also know from passages such as Colossians 3, verse 23, that these skilled workers are to work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, and that as workers we are admonished to follow God's plan, as in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul, a worker for the Lord, tells Timothy, another worker for the Lord, to follow the what? Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. And note that any contributions that are given are to be given freely, just like in the Old Testament. Freely of one's own will. Back in the Old Testament, Exodus 35, 21, or 29, I want to bring that up again. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. This is just like what we can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, which states, talking to Christians bringing their contribution, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. My friends, we're God's building project. We're God's temple. We're God's church. So what should our response be? What's our response going to be? Exodus 36, 5 should sum it up. As the Lord's people, we should be bringing more than enough. So how does this all apply to the church here at Woodland Hills? How does this apply to us today? God's building something in Marion. God is building his church in Marion. And my friends, every member here is involved in a building project, whether you realize it or not. Each one of us is responsible for using our talents and our God-given abilities. And my friends, you all have God-given abilities, every single one of you. And we are to be using them to contribute to the work of the church. So specifically, what work are we trying to accomplish here in Marion? What are we trying to accomplish? Just like I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, our building project, our work has a goal. It has a plan. It needs provisions, and it requires skilled workers that will work from the heart. So what is our goal? Well, we are helping to build God's church in Marion, as described in Ephesians 2, verses 21 through 22. And we are specifically building the next generation of the Woodland Hills Church of Christ and its leaders. And we are seeking to gain deeper faith and holier lives and stronger families. We believe that goal is aligned with God's will. So what is our plan? What's our plan here at Woodland Hills? We talk about the specifics of these plans twice a year at our congregational meetings. Our plan involves things like planning gospel meetings, teaching programs, outreach events. It encompasses things like our congregational Bible reading plans. So we have a plan. What about provisions? What about provisions? We discuss these at our biannual meetings as well, like things like financial plans and how we're going to achieve our goals, budgets, and things like that. Now, what about skilled workers? Skilled workers who will work from the heart. We understand, again, we should understand that God has given each one of us, and I mean each one of us, skills. My friends, we need to use them. Romans 12, verse 6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. My friends, my dear friends, at Woodland Hills, we have a great need for skilled workers who will work from the heart. We have a need for additional Bible class teachers. I got to point out that we are blessed here with many children, and we have a mandate. We have a responsibility to help them grow in the faith. And I need to be very specific. We already have dedicated teachers, and you are an amazing group of people. and we are very thankful for you. However, my friends, very often these teachers have to take on additional classes because we just don't have enough staffing at this point. We're trying to be able to accommodate things such as travel plans and burnout and sickness. And so we have a good teaching core, but my friends, we have a need for skilled teachers who will work and contribute from the heart. Beginning in October, we're going to offer up a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board so that anyone whose heart is moved to can assist in the teaching program for 2018. And I'll encourage you to think about that very carefully. We also need men to speak at various times, including Wednesday nights, in various Bible studies, and also for the teen and college age classes. If your heart moves you, we have a need for you. We're currently engaged as a congregation in a visitor greeting program. And right now, we need 8 more people to help fill out the staffing for Team Andrew. That's the greeters. We need about twice as many people as we have now. We currently have a need in our community outreach program, very specifically, not this week, but the following week, a group of us will be going down to the Grant County Fair, and there will be time slots that are available for people to come and volunteer at that booth. We have a great and immediate need for that. If your heart moves you, see myself, see Taylor, see Sean Nash, see Bruce Everett. We really need people ready to serve. We have programs in place. We need servants. Talking to the men, and specifically about the men's training program, my friends, we encourage all men who are so motivated to participate in our public assemblies. Recently, we did conduct a men's training program aimed at improving and making more consistent our approach to worship. Many men attended, and we're very thankful for that. The core of the training was based on workshops conducted a few years ago in which we attempted to identify those practices that most aid our orderly service before God. And so here's the appeal. I want to appeal to your heart, men. For those men who are not able to make or attend that earlier session in May, we're going to offer a repeat session in June. That's Monday the 26th at 7 p.m. And we urge you, we appeal to you to attend so that we can all work together in a consistent fashion in our worship assembly. We have a need for men to do that. My friends, we also have a couple other needs. We need song leaders, men whose heart moves them to function in that capacity. We need building caretakers. We need encouragers. We need people who are willing to visit the sick and the elderly and the shut-ins. I hope this list gives you a clear idea of what the needs are here at Woodland Hills. And now the lesson's yours. I'd like you to think about Ephesians 2:10, which reminds us we're his workmanship. And we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. If you could help in any way, and if your heart has been moved by tonight's message, there are several things you can do, so I would encourage you to not wait. You can talk to any of the elders or the deacons. My friends, get involved. What will our response be to God's building project here in Marion? Will it be more than enough, or will it be barely enough? The lesson tonight was not designed to give instructions on how to become a member of God's family. However, if you already have this knowledge and want to respond to the gospel message, we would like to invite you to come forward at this time while we stand and while we sing.